You're listening to California Dreaming with your hosts, Sam and Manu, only on BBS Talk Radio.
And good morning to you.
Good morning.
You like a new idea? A new
I bumper? Do. It's amazing.
It's pretty cool, huh?
Yes, it is.
We're starting to be professional.
Oh, yeah. And, it sounds professional.
We're going to have a lot of those. That was courtesy of Greg Rempe.
Yeah.
From the Barbecue Central show.
He yeah. loves to do what a
audio.
Great voice.
He's got a great voice. He's got the patience and the talent to do all the
over
sounds.
And over and over again.
I know. So thank you, Greg. And so we're starting to sound a little more professional.
Yeah.
This is week two.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm getting
I'm
more
really
excited every day.
I know. And everybody here is just getting extremely excited. And you know, we've got some overwhelming response, you know.
Yes.
Everybody's going, this is going to be big, this is going to be big, you know. And people love our show, you know. And that's nice to know, you know.
I've only ever had one negative comment.
Really?
Yeah.
And what
yeah.
was it?
Oh, it was, remember I had spoken to you about, I was sent an email via a friend of mine in reference to a few words that we used. That was politically incorrect.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Really? Like what, for example?
You know, about the lesbian world and
the,
you know, like
that's right.
using
you did say
using
something.
The word of you know, dyke.
Yeah. Okay.
But I mean, never in a derogatory way.
I know that you see, but the point is about this show is we don't have to think about what we say.
No.
We just kind of say it, you know.
No.
And people have to understand that deep inside we're very good people. You know, we're not willing looking to offend anyone.
No, not at all.
Right.
But, no, not
but
at all.
There's always going to be somebody offended.
Yeah.
You know, it just that's the way it works.
But you know, I explained. You know, I wrote back to her and I. Really sincerely apologized and you know
you
like
oh.
please you know
well, that was
this,
nice,
this is not what my intentions are. I'm yeah. not putting the community down or anything like that. I
yeah.
express that I'm very open-minded, you know, and this is entertainment. So
look we use words that people use every day,
like fuck
and exactly and fuck motherfucker,
shit dog, goddamn.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the only kids that listen to the show are my kids, but they can handle those words, you know.
Yeah, most kids can these days.
Yeah, and they're not kids anyway. They're teenagers.
No.
But, you know, this is what the show is about, and we describe our station as being irreverent, which
yes.
means, you know, we don't give a shit about what anybody says. We
yes.
just pretty much say what comes to mind, what we think about, and... you know, we invite people to listen. If they don't want to listen, they don't have to.
No. We'd like you to listen.
Yeah, but...
and have an open mind.
Yeah.
Well, you know...
We've got
like
plenty of listeners, and we're going to have a lot more, so we don't have to worry about it. how was your weekend?
My weekend? Oh, my God. On Saturday, I spent almost the entire day, over 6 hours, scrubbing and cleaning... My William's apartment before he comes back from Ireland.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a mess. Because his little brother.
Yeah? Well, he stays there?
I'm really dobbing that. I could be stomping on some bad ground here.
Good, then don't get into
it. But his little brother has been inconveniently staying at his place.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, just turned it into a freaking pigsty. And so I found the unwanted... creepy crawlies, you know, in the bin and in the sink, and it was just foul.
Oh, that's disgusting.
It's just disgusting.
Yeah. So when's William coming back?
He comes back on Friday.
Oh, wow. Look at that grin on her face. It's actually more than a grin.
I'm going to have sex all weekend.
I'm sure you will. We'll see smoke coming out of your house.
I already have a lollipop that I'm going to give to him, and I found it at this place I went to last night.
Uh-huh.
And this lollipop says, fuck me.
Yeah, oh, yeah?
the big red heart.
Oh, I thought...
fuck me.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they have the lollipops that look like a penis, you know, shaped like a penis. And, so I thought that's what...
No, I saw a few of them, but I don't think a penis-shaped lollipop would be appropriate to give to him.
Oh.
That's for me.
No, that's for you. But, you know, I mean, it could imply something, you know. Let your imagination flow.
No, I thought that let's fuck lollipop was better.
Yeah. So
it was so cute.
Yeah. So where did you get that?
We went to a lesbian sex shop that's in Hollywood. West Hollywood on Melrose.
Okay, folks, she's officially No, I'm going to the other side.
No, I'm not.
Because from talking and watching L Word, now she's going to sex shops that are specifically for lesbians. So if she's not over to the other side, then William better get back here quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
To get you back in track here.
Tiger's making a big influence on me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Tiger, tell us what's, is she coming in today?
Yeah, she is. She'll be up here probably in the next half hour. She is native Choctaw Indian. She lived on the reservation most of her life. And then, you know, she went through a lot of shit in her life. And finally, she got it, pulled it all together, went into college in New Mexico, right. Studied film and everything like that for filmmaking.
Right.
And so she's done a couple of documentaries, really amazing.
Nice. So it sounds interesting.
Really amazing.
And to those who haven't listened to us before, Tiger is Manu's roommate.
Roommate, yes.
Right.
I found her on Craigslist.
You found her
Well, she found me on Craigslist.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, yeah. So, but she's also a singer, and she has a couple of albums out. Her latest album is called Lyric, which we'll hear
a little bit. You're giving away everything. Let
her
describe
it. Okay.
Yeah.
But hey, Sam, before we go on,
yes.
I got a little gift for you. Yeah, from that shop last night.
You did?
I did.
Oh, I can't believe this.
Do you want to hear? Look at it. Do you like it?
All right, so this is a lollipop, but it's not shaped as a penis. It's called a boob sucker. And it has two pink boobs on it. It actually looks like a heart when you look at it at a distance.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's...
You look close enough and it's two little titties.
Yeah, little titties. I'm going to suck in some nipples today, man. Well, thank you. That was very kind. An early Valentine's Day gift? Is that what it is? I see. Okay.
Yes, I had to get that. I was like, I've got to get that one for Sam.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, can you imagine like the thank you card for something like this? It's like, thank you. I'll be sucking them in pleasure, you know? I'll be sucking your gift with everything that I got. You know?
I had one last night. It didn't taste too bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, what, pink strawberry, whatever it is.
Except next thing I started doing is chewing on it. So, like, cracking it away.
Oh, yeah? So you got a boob one, too?
Yeah, I got one.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I got one last night.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you sucked on some boobs, too.
Yeah.
God, I'm telling you, I can't come to work anymore. This is getting too hot in here.
Well, yeah, last night it was for a fundraiser for a couple of friends of Tiger's, and so they are doing a film, a lesbian film, I think.
Yes.
I'm going to assume it's a lesbian film.
Okay.
And so they're trying to get funds to get it done and everything like that.
Uh-huh.
And they had a group of dancers in there called, oh God, what. Anyway, lost the mind right there.
Dancers?
Yeah, kind of like go-go dancers, but like burlesque.
I see.
But it was like more of a, you know, a show for the women, of course.
Right.
And so there were like titties and ass, you know, being shaken around.
Oh,
I was like, oh wow, this is really interesting.
You know what? I'm starting to feel my life is really boring. You know, I mean, we go to dinners, and you go to these places. Come on, you know.
Well, got to make it interesting.
Yeah, I guess you do. You know.
Oh, that's what their name is, the Pinup Girls.
The Pinup Girls.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
so you
actually,
got their card, I think.
Yeah, and if anyone is interested, they will be performing at the, some place in Los Feliz.
Mm-hmm.
And they if you go on the website, you know, obviously MySpace, or actually www.thepinupgirls.com, and it'll let you know where the girls are performing if you're into that kind of show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I am, but... You know, I don't see where I can use them. our toll-free call-in number, if you guys feel like calling and chatting just about anything, the number is 866-515-6977. Again, toll-free number is 866-515-6977. And Manu, you know we also have international listeners. And
yes,
for them,
we do.
Yeah, and if you can afford to call the United States... Call us at 323-284-2554. And you know what I was thinking last night? We're going to add Skype for people to actually call in. So people will be able to do that through
directly
their Skype.
From their computer.
Yeah, from their computer, and then you can call us anywhere in the world.
Yes.
And it won't cost you a dime. All you need really is a computer and a microphone.
Yeah, that's it.
So
that's how I communicate with William.
Really?
Over in Ireland. Yes.
Yeah, you guys do Skype. Do you do video too?
No, I don't have a video thing.
Oh, a video camera.
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe
But see, through Skype was how we did the computer sex.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
But by writing? You should have done, at least voice sex.
On the Skype, on the Skype thing, you have that little text box.
Right, right. But Skype lets you talk. Why wouldn't you talk?
Well, sometimes it's better just writing the words down.
I see. Okay. All right. I've been there, done that. Oh, yeah. Cyber sex. So
it officially exists. I didn't realize it was, right. But
oh yeah. I've got a lot of stories about that, but we won't get into that now.
Ah, do you? You're letting a few cats out of the bag, are you?
I guess, yeah. You know, but excuse me.
Oh, did you get those cough drops?
I was going to, but this was not that kind of a cough.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, what's in the news? Well, before we get into that, I just wanted to ask you, have you seen how Obama has come out and is really, he won all the contests yesterday.
Yes, I heard that.
Hillary's in deep trouble. You know?
Yes, she is.
And I don't know what's going to happen. I really wanted
this
to
This is
run,
amazing. But, this is going to be a huge thing.
It is.
It's either going to be the first female president of the United States.
Right.
And I remember years ago, everyone was saying, oh, no way, that would never be the U.S., and we're far from that, you know, yet. And in actual fact, I kind of sort of believed it.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's the truth.
Yeah.
It's like it's either going to be the first female or the first black man.
That's
in
if the Democrats win. But it could also be, you know, a Republican. I mean, McCain could take it, or I don't know, Huckabee's still in the race, but I don't think he's going to get anywhere.
No.
So it's really between, so it's three people that are really
Hey, is it Huckabee that has that gorgeous British blonde wife, young wife?
No, I think that's McCain, isn't it?
I don't
he's
know.
He's got, that blonde young wife.
Yeah.
From Arizona or something. Yeah, they, he does. And if you remember when he ran last time, she was, she revealed she had a prescription drug problem.
Yes.
And so that's the one you're talking about. Yeah. So, yeah, she's a hot wife. She's a hot wife.
She is. Yeah. I know. William kind of looked at her like, God, Manu, come and check this out. She's hot.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize she was British, though.
No, she's British.
American. Really?
Yeah, she's originally from Britain.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. But, yeah, so at least if he wins, we'll have something good to look at. You know, she's easy on the eyes.
Unlike Hillary.
Yeah.
Or well, Mrs. Bush
right
now.
But Hillary used to look a lot worse, you know. I think she looks presentable now.
You reckon?
She really does, yeah. She did, she fixed her teeth and all that stuff. Well, yeah, while in the White House. You don't remember that?
No, I don't.
Well, I do. So, and, you know, with her hairdos and all that stuff. So she looks good. She looks good. You know, for her age, and what else do you? So anyway, that's the picture of the elections right now, and so Obama is really doing it. And you know what? The thing is, you can see the power of marketing. When you have a brand, okay, you're trying to find a position in the consumer's mind.
Yes.
So, for example, when you think car rental, who do you think of?
Enterprise. Okay. Immediately.
Well, the biggest one is Hertz.
Oh, it is?
Okay, yeah.
Oh.
So, yeah, but...
Okay.
Okay,
no.
All right. When you hear of cola, what do you think of?
Coca.
Okay, Coke. What do you think of when I say hamburger? The first thing
McDonald's.
That comes, McDonald's,
yeah.
Okay. So, you see, that's owning a position in the consumer's mind.
Right.
So, like, you own a word. You actually own a word.
I understand.
And
okay.
Okay, so what Obama did is he came out and owns the word change now. So it doesn't matter how many times Hillary or anybody else is going to talk about change. He owns the word. He owns.
Everyone identifies change to him.
To him now, exactly. You see, that's the position they got in our mind.
Right.
So that's a big, big plus.
Because I remember when I first started hearing him talk and, you know, doing all the debating and that, a lot of that word was change, change, change,
yeah,
change.
Yeah.
And they even commented about that.
Yeah.
you know, like, you know, he's using the word change, throwing it out there, and he doesn't really have an idea of what change is.
Yeah, well, but, yeah, I, you know, maybe, but I think along with change, we need some experience, you know.
Yes.
And he just simply, I'd love to see him, you know, win a presidency, but not
yes.
this year, you know.
Yeah.
I think maybe the next elections where he gets a little more experience, at least, you know, with his campaign.
Right.
But I think we need Hillary. I really do. So
yeah.
we'll see what happens. But right now they are pretty much neck to neck. So
I did yesterday when I went shopping. I did go and do a few things. I saw at least three people with the Obama T-shirts on.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they
yeah,
were.
Yeah, it's really catching momentum now.
Yes, it is.
You know?
Huge. And
yeah.
Obama's like stickers, posters are everywhere, glued everywhere.
Yeah.
But you know, it's either. Well, let's Speaking of, well, here's the latest gossip.
Uh-huh.
Brittany.
Straight from politics into gossip. That's
yeah,
what we love here.
Yeah, I love gossip. Brittany has now been, is being chased, or allegedly being chased by gang members. The Crips and the Bloods.
Are you serious?
She was being
chased. What do
they
want with her now?
I don't know. It's just ridiculous. It's like this is the whole, you know, accusations now that
yeah.
she was chased by the Crips and Bloods throughout L.A. last night as a form of paparazzi.
Yeah. Is that from TMZ by any
yeah,
chance?
Yeah, it is
okay.
from TMZ.
Good figures.
Yeah.
But I'm sure
of
they've
course.
Got the pictures to prove it. So. You know.
Yeah, there's a little like video thing that you can click on. So if you go to TMZ.com,
yeah.
you'll see the site.
Yeah,
and
that's,
everything like that.
That's the trash
but,
site.
But I mean, that's just like, God. Shit, you know, what
yeah.
the fuck is she doing in that area anyway?
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know, but maybe they came out of their holes and went into her area. I don't know.
I
but,
know.
But she was
chasing her down to sell her drugs.
Right.
And so,
yeah, to find out where she buys them, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But now, wasn't the news over the weekend that she got discharged from the hospital and her family were pissed about it?
Yeah.
Or something? And so I don't know where she is now, but then I sort of like heard or maybe I saw like a little blurb that she's going into rehab now.
Is that true? You know, I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, it's like it's almost like it's a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
And I discussed this with my roommate and, you know, we went into 7-Eleven over the weekend and we see the Rolling Stones magazine.
Uh-huh.
Now, the picture on the Rolling Stones magazine has got this most gorgeous woman on the front. And then that first part, you wouldn't even think that it's Britney Spears. And yet, it's a picture of her on the cover of Rolling Stones. And it's like she's been revamped and revitalized.
Really?
And
so she looks good on the
she
cover.
She is
I would
now
imagine.
Healthy and alive and cured, so to speak. And
yeah.
I think this is a whole publicity bullshit.
I doubt it. You know, I don't look. I mean, she doesn't need any more publicity for crying out loud. You know, and especially not bad one. You
yeah.
know? I mean, if I were to make a comeback, you know, I would try to get positive publicity. Although, you know, often people try to be famous by doing evil things or stupid things.
Right.
But it doesn't last very long. And,
no.
And those are people that are hungry for celebrity. I don't think that she is, you know. At this point, nobody's a bigger celebrity than she is, you know.
And for the bad stuff, though.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. For whatever. But yeah, she's a train wreck, and people love to watch it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of comebacks, Whitney Houston made a comeback. She's in her in the studios recording her first album.
Oh, yeah? Is she over the drugs now?
All these years, yeah.
yeah.
And there's a picture of her at the Grammys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
did you watch it last night?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
No.
Oh,
we
you
were,
went to that thing.
Yeah, we
yeah.
went to our fundraiser
yeah.
thing.
Who holds a fundraiser when you have the Grammys on? Yeah, like
you
I
know
watched
what?
It, right? It's you
yeah,
know what? Like it's gotten so boring because there's just no good music out there. You know, so you get all this rap and hip hop and you
yeah.
know and all that, but it sounds the same. Everything sounds the same. You know, we don't have. I remember the Grammys with Sting and Elton John and Paul McCartney and all these artists, those classics.
Yeah.
And now you're getting all this garbage that I don't even know half these people.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know?
No, you're
and,
right. And I don't think you're the first person to say that.
Yeah. No, I think especially in our age group now,
yeah.
people are really longing for some good music.
What happened to the real artists?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
So
it's just, I mean, I don't mind hip hop, but give us some more of other stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, it's become like so homogenic, you know, that it's just all you get is just one kind of music.
Yeah.
You know, and it's boring. So I sort of like, we had it on, but I wasn't really watching. They had Tina Turner on.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
She performed? She came last live. Last night?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How old is she now?
What's love got to do with it? She's got to be in her 70s.
God damn.
Yeah, but surgery's galore. Okay, I mean, you could see her face is totally stretched. And she's always had big bone cheeks, but now they look like two golf balls, you know. Everything is still stretched, you know. And
what about the legs?
The legs are still there. The legs are still there. I mean, she's just amazing. I don't know what she does, but
a lot of cardio.
Yeah, yeah. Did you see? I mean, last week on the National Enquirer, they showed like Mariah Carey with all. I mean, they showed a picture, and then every part of her body had an arrow to it, saying what was done to it. I mean,
I can believe it.
Is it possible that she did that much?
I actually do believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know all this work that they do, and I think eventually they look ridiculous. You know, some of them
like
it works.
Tammy Faye. Isn't that hideous?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, hang on. Who's the other one? Zsa Gabor?
Zsa.
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 Zsa. Zsa.
Zsa Gabor. They turn hideous after a while.
Yeah, it really does. Many of them do. But I'm not one for surgeries. You know, just kind of like take the aging as it comes. You know, it's not pretty. It's not beautiful. But let it be you, you know. And because people look absolutely ridiculous. You know, with those surgeries. I mean, liposuction and all that, but I mean, like facelift, you know?
Yeah.
It's like really obvious, and you never look the same.
Well, that's why they say use Botox, because you're not getting your face stretched anymore. You're just filling in the wrinkles.
Yeah, and then you look like all bulgy and shit, you know, like you have popcorn under your skin.
And the lips.
Yeah.
I've seen some nasty.
I know, those lips, you know, they gotta go, you know, they gotta go.
And what's her name? Rena?
Yeah, no, Lisa Rena. I was just going to say that, yeah.
Oh, my God.
She's overdone it, you know. And I'm sure she was pretty without it, you know, but they just...
She was. I remember her on Days of Our Lives when she first came on. Mm-hmm. This is years ago now. And her lips were normal. You know, they looked pretty normal. And then next thing, it's like... I don't know what happened.
Like she got bit by a bee or something. I mean, it's just that like they look like ridiculous. You know, like they put plates in them.
But you know what? Now they suit her. You know, now everyone looks at her as like, okay, that's Lisa Rinna. Yeah. That's her lips.
Yeah.
You know.
I guess. But it still looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, all these Botox.
Well, our next guest.
No, but wait a minute. The Botox is not for the lips. The lips is the collagen.
Oh,
collagen.
Yeah, collagen.
Yeah, the Botox is for the wrinkles. Yeah. See, I'm on top
of
that
stuff. If you were to have any kind of surgery, what would you have?
Who, me?
Yeah.
My second chin here. Yeah, my chin. I would definitely get rid of my chin. You know, it's sort of hanging. I mean, it's not bad. Okay,
you're doing
I'm not fat.
Right.
I don't think so. I'd like it to be like this. You know, so
nice chiseled
face. But
you have a face that requires that little thing.
You think
going
so?
On.
Well, yes. I don't think so.
If I was to choose, I would have liposuction on my thighs.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, you feel you have thunder thighs.
Yeah, you know, I've always had them, and if I'm not exercising, running, or whatever, they just become, just fat.
Really?
I don't know.
And it's not the bone, the bone structure. It's you're saying it's actually fat.
No, it's fat.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Now everyone knows.
Fat's always a problem.
I measured myself the other day. I'm 41.
41 what?
41 inches.
Oh, waist?
No. Around the bottom part of my the hips.
Yeah.
The thighs.
The thighs.
Yeah. Not the actual hips.
Right. The thighs
but
below.
The
41.
The widest part of your ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. 41.
Is that a lot? Okay.
In my mind, yes.
Well, but you're a big girl. I mean, you know, not fat, but big bone.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I'm no petite.
No, you're not petite.
Little thing.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, it's to be expected.
I know. My mom's the same way. Well, that's our blood. That's our genes.
Yeah.
You know, the Maoris.
There you go.
Yeah, we're all big, hefty women.
Yeah.
If anyone knows, you know, the Samoans, the Tongans, well, the Maori are just the same breed. So, you know, we're all big, hefty people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, have to survive in the wild there.
That's the way we're bred.
Yeah, nature has helped you.
And to push out those goddamn kids. I have an auntie. Yeah. This is ridiculous. I have an auntie who just turned 46, mm-hmm. and she's ready to drop, you know, she's ready to push out a couple of kids. And this will be her 11th and 12th child.
11th or 12th child?
11th and 12th.
And 12th. Oh, she's
going to... She's having twins.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's already had 10. And it's just like... And none of them are with her.
Really?
None of them are with her.
Okay, so what are they thinking? They obviously never heard of contraceptives.
You know, this is just fucked up bullshit, my opinion. You know, I mean, she's my auntie, but fucking Jesus Christ, you know? Please, keep your legs closed, for God's sake.
Either that, you know, I mean, if I lived, I would think if I lived in a society where there's no contraceptives, it probably would occur to me at a certain point to just pull out before I ejaculate, you know? So, I mean, what is it about people? They just don't think, you know? And it's like you spend a few milliseconds of pleasure, and then you have to pay for it for the rest of your life.
That's just one way of thinking about it.
It's not worth it.
Yeah.
It really isn't, you know. So
women need to learn to close their legs. Can you imagine the whole world?
No, I think more women need to actually spread them, you know. I don't think... I mean, you know, it's not... You know, I think... I don't know. I've always taken responsibility as a man, you know, for preventing the pregnancy and stuff. So,
yeah. In your wild child days?
Ever since. But, you know, we all develop our own ways of contraception.
That's true.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Well, let's introduce our new guest that we have today. Her name is Tiger Moon.
Okay. Hi, Tiger. Okay, she's not connected to the mic yet, but
no.
we'll take a break.
We're going to take a little break, and then after we come back, she'll be on air, and then we'll hear some more of your favorite topics.
Yes, we'll have some more topics.
just for you, Sam.
Just for me,
this
huh?
This is just for you.
Yeah, okay. You're starting to make me seem like a pervert, but, you know.
No.
Okay.
It's every man's fantasy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. It's getting too hot. We're going to go and cool down a little bit. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to California Dreaming with your host, Sam and Manu. Only on BBS Talk Radio. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to the only radio that matters. BBS Talk Radio. You're listening to California Dreaming with your host, Sam and Manu, only on BBS Talk Radio.
Okay,
we are back.
We are back.
And let's introduce Tiger Moon. Say hello.
Hello.
Hello, Tiger. introduce her to us. Manu, just tell us who Tiger is, and then we'll go over to Tiger.
Well, we are now officially introducing Tiger Moon, who has been a name that comes up almost every single day on our show.
Yeah.
So anyone who doesn't know who Tiger Moon is, she is my roommate.
That's an awesome name, I got to tell you. Tiger Moon is the best. If I had to adopt a name, I would probably be Tiger Moon. I like that name.
Isn't it great?
Yeah. Is that the name you received when you were born, pretty much?
No, it's my Indian name.
Oh, your Indian name.
Yeah, I got it when I was 2.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's native.
Is that your family name, or is it just like a second name, the Moon part?
It's a second name.
I see. So you use it as your middle name?
No, just as my tribal name.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there is a tiger family in my tribe, so it was kind of named after that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. So you're American native?
Yes, Choctaw.
Right? Choctaw?
Mm-hmm.
How come I never heard of that one before?
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, it shows you how much I know.
From Oklahoma, right?
Oh.
Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, from Oklahoma.
And how many people do you reckon were in the tribe at one time? What's the maximum, you think?
Well, gosh, that's a good question. The maximum? I know there's 54 million of us now.
Wow.
People don't know that.
Really?
562 different tribes in the United States.
50 million.
54 million.
54 million. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about like about 15% of the population.
Correct.
Right?
Is Native American. Yeah. And how many tribes total?
562. It includes Alaska as well, but Alaska isn't a huge portion of that percentage.
Yeah. Yeah. What did I say? No, it's more like 20%. I'm sorry. It's about, yeah, 1/6 of the population. We have about,
yeah,
that's
it's huge.
A lot. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, power to the natives.
Yeah. Are you guys at any point going to rise up and take your country back?
We are trying so hard.
I know. Like, America's being invaded now,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
By and all sorts.
You know what's interesting is I remember, I mean, when I was a kid and watching Westerns, it was always the cowboys against the Indians. And the Indians were the bad guys.
Yeah.
And I mean, how would you feel if you were an Indian and you had to live during those times and watch the Westerns, you know? It definitely is not flattering.
That would piss me off.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
It was, like, so clearly cut and defined that the white guys are the good guys and the Indians were the bad guys.
Yeah, in all movies.
Yeah.
All the John Wayne movies. John Wayne was... What, John Wayne was the... he has the most... Western films as lead actor,
yeah,
the most ever. I think it's something phenomenal, like,
yeah, I believe it,
couple of hundred it. Movies or something like that.
Yeah, he was a big star. Yeah.
Wonder where his mind was. What do you reckon? I never really thought about that.
Yeah.
I'm glad he died with something like, he had something like 8 pounds or something ridiculous, 8 pounds of rotten meat in his stomach.
Are you serious?
At the autopsy.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, because that's all
he ate.
Because that's all he ate was
really?
Was meat. You know what I mean? And yeah. That's just foul.
Yeah.
Just foul. I've never been a John Wayne fan.
Yeah.
To be honest.
But anyway, I think the first movie that did justice to American Indians was Dances with Wolves, right?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Was there
I suppose.
Before?
I give speeches, actually, across the country on Native American stereotypes in Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
And we refer to that.
As a stereotype.
Yeah,
a
because
stereotypical
then what
movie?
Happened after it was the Cowboys against the Indians and the Indians were bad was that the Indians were trying to really have a voice in the media. And so then it turned into, okay, well, now we'll just feel sorry for them and we'll put a hero, a white hero,
right,
that says, I'm separate from Custer. I'm separate from what happened. Don't you feel bad for these people? Watch me help them, kind
I
of
see.
Thing. You
yeah,
know? So,
yeah.
And it's the one and only movie that consistently gets referred to,
yeah,
when it comes to a contemporary, not even contemporary film. It's still what we call leather and feathers.
Right, yes,
you know, we're
yes.
We're so tired of leather and feathers, but
yeah.
but a more... a film made more recently. It's always Dances with Wolves.
Yeah.
Always,
yeah.
Always, always.
Yeah.
And there's been so many independent Native filmmakers that have made contemporary films, just regular stories where the characters just happen to be Native.
I
and because
see.
They
yeah.
don't get picked up by distribution because there's not a big calling for it, people can't refer to those movies. You know, Smoke
I see.
Signals or, oh gosh, there's a whole list of independent Native films.
Really?
Now, you travel around to a lot of communities, a lot of schools, and do these speeches, correct?
Correct.
So what exactly are you talking to the white community or are you talking to a mixed community or what's your main you
it
know
it seems primarily a white community that I'm talking to. A lot of I go to a lot of universities, so it's film students and cultural studies and arts, even the arts programs will have me come in to talk about contemporary Native American art.
Yes.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
See, I told you, Sam. She's got a lot of stuff going on behind her.
She does. She does.
Yeah.
So I noticed you got some nice tattoos now. Okay, what do you have on your arm there?
My arm is Cherokee writing, which uh-huh. means sky or to continuously rise. Danadilage, to continuously rise.
Uh-huh.
The one on my...
Danadilage. Danadilage.
Yeah.
Danadilage. Okay, now
wow,
I know.
Wow, Sam.
Yeah. See?
Hey.
Good languages. And so it's got like a butterfly there? Is
yeah,
that
and then
is?
Just feathers.
And feathers. I like the way the feathers look.
Thank you.
It's really nice.
I
yeah.
had them done in Illinois by a very, very famous tattoo artist.
Really?
Guy Atchison, his name is.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't know about tattoos,
mm-hmm,
but...
you don't
you
have
know.
Any?
No, I don't.
Oh.
No. In fact, I have to be honest with you. It's like... I can see like a woman and say, wow, look at that. But the moment I see a tattoo, it's like she loses one notch for me, you know, because I think I was just raised that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like don't put stuff on your body and stuff. But I think for a native, it would be almost like a natural because, the, you know, with the war paint and
mm-hmm.
the colors and all that stuff,
yeah.
you know, you would think they'd always been concerned with adorning their body, you
yeah.
know. So,
In the Maori tribes, we tattoo ourselves in reference to where we rank in the tribe.
Oh yeah.
Yes, whether so, you know how high you are up in the tribe, whether you're the king or the prince, or and it goes down. So
I see.
The more tattooing you have, the more higher you are in the tribe.
And so you stay in that social level for the rest of your life then?
No.
It's like a caste system.
It's like you climb up the ladder.
Right. So every time you climb, you get a different tattoo.
You get more adornation.
Okay.
Yeah. And usually, it's usually on the face, or you know, on some part of the body.
Right.
It's not like little patches here and there.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually on the face.
Wow.
Believe it or not. Yeah.
Tattoo on the face.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Even the women. Even the women get the tattoos on the face, and mainly on the lips and on the lower part of their chin. It's, you know, it's quite natural. And it's natural back home,
yeah,
like in New Zealand. Very natural.
Wow. Yeah, so you see, you kind of have to get used to that, you know. I mean, I was raised with, like, nothing on your body, you know, you keep your body.
In Israel, you mean?
Well, I don't think it has to do with where I was, but,
yeah,
you know, it's just maybe the time or the background, whatever, you know. But
okay.
I'm sure my parents wouldn't like it if I did that. but Tiger, so you have one on your chest.
Yes.
And that looks almost like a necklace without the chain.
Without the
chain.
Yeah.
I got this in Florida, just going with a friend to get a tattoo and sitting there long enough to hear the gun going. It's addictive. Once you get one, you want another one.
Really?
So I just kind of only had a certain amount of money. I was in Florida on vacation, and I said, okay, what can I get for this amount of money? And I took a design off the wall and flipped it upside down.
Yeah.
But I think someday I'd like to turn it into a phoenix, because it looks
It'll
be the body of a phoenix. We'll have
yeah.
the head and
yeah.
the wings.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. And then the, you know.
But I must note that if Tiger had like a double D chest, she would not have been able to do that tattoo, right?
Nope, nope. It's kind of actually a film technique. I have a degree in film. I went to college for that.
Uh-huh.
And they say that if you can create a pyramid in film, Citizen Kane is a good example. When the boy's outside the window playing and the two people are talking about him,
right,
you're focused so much on the boy because he's in the middle of the pyramid.
Right.
So I felt to take your eyes off of my breasts, I'll put something in the middle so that you completely focus there every time.
Right, but still people would be looking at you and looking at your chest when they're talking to you.
Well, they're already looking at your chest. It's a given.
That's true. So give him a message in the process.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
So talk to us a little bit more, about we're going to put it all out there, your sexuality and being Native American sexuality, because I remember us having this discussion, you know, how it's viewed upon now versus how it was back in the day and just your main interaction now.
Sure, yeah. I'm bisexual and have had many experiences and relationships with women. And culturally, there are specific tribes that consider that one that walks with two spirits. It's a revered thing. It's to be able to balance the feminine and the masculine within your spirit.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was way more accepted a long time ago within the tribes as opposed to now because of people converting to Catholicism and learning that it's a bad thing. There are still tribes that support it to this day.
Do you think that's what's changing the views of that?
Absolutely.
From
Catholic? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because if you even look at some of the old mystic religions, if you even call it religions, but the pagans and Wiccans and even any other country that has a form of mysticism, that's just a given. The more connected you get spiritually, the more connected you get with the earth, the more that you think your fellow human is beautiful in every possible way, and you're open to seeing that, you know.
Mm.
And so I do think that it got closed. It feels so natural for the people that are that way.
Yeah.
And it feels, I mean, where is the ridicule coming from? Where is the hate crimes coming from? It's because something that really runs our country and that's so powerful says this is sin, this is wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're referring to the religious right mainly, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all that Bible belt and
I thought you were going to say bullshit.
Yeah, well, it is bullshit too, but that's beside the point.
I second that notion.
Yeah. So you're saying in a way it's sort of like a tradition or like a religious thing where you feel that it gives you the opportunity to really be hope. Yeah, like you said, it feels more natural, right, to be attracted to both sexes. So, but is that so? That's something that they teach you, or is that something that you sort
no,
of?
No,
like,
I think it just you know, I was having a conversation the other day, and I think that this is a really fascinating topic. Yeah. It was a biologist, and I love speaking to science people because I'm so beyond the science world, and so you kind of get in these debates, very friendly debates about what's proven and what's actual fact, you know, in science world, and then what you feel spiritually outside of that.
Right.
So we were discussing if by chance there's a genetic disorder that happens in people when they're in the womb, and they can be born gay. And how come nobody's ever tested this? I said, so what if that's the case? What if you actually are born with some sort of, and I don't like to call it a disorder because it doesn't feel that way to me, but some sort of genetic makeup that makes you different? And this biologist said, because then they'd have to prove, or they'd have to show that everything that they've done in the past, however many years, against the homosexuality community would be in vain.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be, so why?
Yeah, it was invalidated, all of this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's that's something that makes total sense.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, we can prove all kinds of things in science.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes the most ridiculous things. Yeah. And we're cloning lambs and we're throwing rats into mazes, but nobody's ever brought this up. Nobody's ever tested this. How come? And there's a real strong reason why.
Yeah. But didn't they discuss like a gay gene or something like that? Not too long ago, I think I was reading about it, and actually there was some kind of a revelation that there's genetics involved.
Yeah.
You know, and you would have to think that there is because, you know, I mean, sometimes you can see that a young child already has those tendencies. You know, and
I think so. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I have come across those children.
Yeah, you know, and we see it in animals as well. You know,
yeah.
So it's just a question of how you're born. You know, and I think maybe if you have more of the, you know, if you're male and you have more estrogen in your body, then you might become feminine.
Yeah.
You know.
That's true.
So,
could you imagine, though, if they did find that gene, right, and then next thing you know, out in the medical world, if someone fell pregnant and then at a certain time they could actually test for that gene, whether that child has the gay gene, right?
Right.
If that child is now going to be born, then the mother or the parents then can totally turn it into like, oh my God, I don't want a gay child.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
there
that was
would
what we talked about. Yeah.
Yeah. So I, you know, no wonder they can't reveal it, because then you're going to have this whole, you know, like Bible bashing people who totally are, you know, because there's so many people out there that have been abandoned by their families because they're gay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
So you can imagine if that gene was found or it was, you know,
it
discovered.
It would be an oxymoron almost, because it's very biblical to be pro-life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
ooh,
then,
yeah.
But it's also very biblical to be anti-homosexual. So
ooh.
That's what we had been discussing to me and this biologist.
Yeah.
Because imagine, yeah, then you could make the choice to not have this child. What's interesting about it also is that if you find out it's genetic in what they would call in the world disorder, the fact that it had been placed in the Bible in the first place, it's the same as committing a hate crime on somebody who's autistic and realizing you wouldn't do that. It's not in the Bible that it's a sin to be autistic. If it's an actual genetic makeup disorder, quote unquote,
right.
You know, does that make any sense? Then
yeah.
then it shouldn't have ever been put in the Bible to begin with.
Yeah.
Right.
The fact that it was means that it was already happening. It's something you reference. You know, you wouldn't even know what that was unless you were referencing it from somewhere. You had seen it happen.
I can tell you right now, when I used, because I grew up Catholic, and reading that in the Bible, I had absolutely no idea what it was.
Yeah. But you know what's interesting in the Bible is they don't explicitly talk about women, but they do about men. In other words, you know, a man cannot lie with another man, but they never mentioned anything about
a
women.
Woman,
and that's,
they hardly
that's,
talk about women at all
yeah,
in the Bible.
Exactly. But that's because it's so male-centric.
Yeah.
And I believe that most of those laws that were put in the Bible were things that they felt either threatened by or you know, things that obviously would serve their interests. But I can imagine that men would freak out, you know, thinking of being with another man, right. So they would just condemn it automatically.
Gee, I wonder what the Spartans were thinking. Because, you know, the Spartans back, oh God, how many centuries ago when they existed?
Yeah.
Their sex was men against men, men with men, to keep their strength, so to speak, and keep the weakness of women away.
Yeah, I can see how much strength that would keep, yeah.
Yeah, you can see a lot of old paintings, 15th century, a lot of old paintings where this is sort of going on in Rome and in Greece.
Yeah.
These paintings of men with men, just a very sexual scene. I think that In my own theory, of course, personally, that women and sex are both the most powerful things in the world. Thus, you would have to do everything in your power if you were trying to conform and make some sort of order in society to make those two things very prevalent. It's like, why such an emphasis on sex? And why such an emphasis on there not being the stories of women in the Bible?
Yeah.
And I think because you don't want people to know how powerful they are.
Yeah, yeah. And they addressed that in the Da Vinci Code book, if you remember.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah. Or
really?
Yeah. And they addressed the fact that women were oppressed, you know, during those times. And, and probably like Mary Magdalene was a bigger deal that they made her out to be.
Yeah.
And you know, and the book claims that she may have been Jesus' wife and all that. So, yeah, and it's based on theories and things like that that over the years.
Yeah.
But that's what they addressed. And, you know, I took a class in college entitled The Bible is Literature. And we actually, this was a refreshing way to look at the Bible because you look at it from a scholarly point of view, you know. And
right.
Then you start questioning when you do. When you look at it in that way, you start asking, you know. Like, for example, there were some things that were done by men that were not condemned, and yet when a woman did them, she was condemned.
Right.
You know, and I mean, one story was that in Sodom, back in the Bible, you know, a few... you know what? I'm not getting into this. I totally forgot. But but I mean, there was this thing where these there was homosexuality involved, and then the man was willing to give his daughter away to these men that were angry, you know. I'm sort of like speaking in code here, and then. I wish I hadn't opened my mouth, but but anyway,
that's okay, Sam.
Yeah, there's a lot of this stuff going on in the Bible, you know, and there's definitely a double standard going on there, you know.
I think there's clearly a double standard in the Bible. Now, with the natives, at what point was it Christianity that started being pushed into the tribes to segregate and to change and manipulate and everything like that?
As soon as you were taken and sent to boarding school, you were handed a Bible, for sure. You were able to stay on your land if you agreed to be a U.S. citizen and convert to Christianity or Catholicism. It was a very big, you know, and to this day, we have many, many churches on reservations, and there's a lot of
Catholic or Christian. So what was the religion? What was the religion before that?
Well, it was just... Our
the
native
earth.
Religion, yeah, it was
the natives,
yeah, Mother Earth, Father Sky, our ancestors that are still with us. You know,
the spirit
it's interesting
world.
To see many tribes carry both of those things still, and even the churches when you go into them, their traditional native ceremonies happening, kind of intermixed with with a Catholic or a Christian view. You know, you're at the pew, or you still use the Bible and you pray, and then you go from there to a sweat lodge. So it's interesting to see. My people balance both those things, but I can see the downfalls of pushing a religion onto a people that already. What it's saying is that we were lost before everybody came around and told us how to be saved. And I don't. That's what I don't like about it. Is before they came, we seemed to be really peaceful and know what we were doing. Even if we were fighting against each other, there was still an order to everything.
Yeah.
And so it just makes it sound like. Up until we were handed Bibles, we were lost souls wandering around, and I refuse to believe
we're
that.
We're here to save you,
right?
Yeah,
exactly,
yeah,
but kill
go.
You off at the same time.
Yeah. The white man has all the answers.
Yeah,
you know,
thou shalt not kill thy neighbor, right?
Yeah,
right.
Fucking idiots.
Yeah, it's only when it works for them, you know.
Of course.
One of the things I want to throw in really quick, because it just fits the topic, is something that's happened lately in feeding that concept of being against homosexuality, is that it's created such a how do I explain this? It's created such an anti view on people that it's confused that culture, that subculture, enough that if you've never met a homosexual, if you didn't know too much about it, and you go out into the world and you want to experience it because you really want to be open-minded to it, what you're going to find is a lot different than what you would imagine. You're going to find a lot of really lost, scared, sad people because for so long we've been so suppressed that we've had to turn to antidepressants, or like you said, we've been abandoned by our family. There's been hate crimes. We've been beaten. It's just gotten to this point where I'm so sad that we had to get that way in the first place. You know, that it's really hard for us to even represent ourselves as a gay community because there's so much drama and drug abuse and suicide and, you know, and I think I can tell you,
even in our community, the Maori people, particularly a man, if a man was known to be homosexual, God forbid, because his own people would commit a hate crime against him more so than the white man would commit against him. So his own people would attack him. Is that the same in your community as well?
I'm sure there's certain communities. I definitely have met homophobic Native Americans. I wonder with the Maoris, is it a similar thing? Has the Maoris been converted? Have they?
Yeah. Okay. It was total the same Christianity conversion.
So
like
you think
we're here
that
to
it
save
wouldn't
you.
Happen?
No. Oh. No, not at all. Okay. No, it was again. You know, the men, because they were warriors and they fought and they went to war with the, you know, with other tribes, and to remain strong and not weak with the women. So if you know what I'm saying, it would be sexual interaction between the men to keep them strong, kind of like what the Spartans did.
Right.
Yeah. So it was very similar. And then, you know, the Bible came in and next thing you know, you've got a whole different dilemma occurring.
Yeah.
All right. Enough about Bible. Okay. I think we've had our share of Bible for this morning.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. We do have a guest.
Yeah, we do. It looks like
we
do.
Yeah, we do. And I have to apologize to her, which I will in a moment.
Uh-huh.
But you can tell where my head's been, where a guest comes in and I totally forgot that they were coming in. So.
And then when we come back, Tiger does a lot of spoken word. And everything like that. Do you want to come back and do spoken word?
What I think we'll do is we'll take our guest after the break, and then we'll continue with Tiger.
Okay.
That's okay.
Yeah, we
you.
Can do that.
Right? You're not in a hurry or anything?
No.
Good.
She's with me.
Yeah, she's
she
with you.
She ain't going nowhere.
And we're
going to
get a lot of music today also, so some original music. So
yes,
that'll be cool.
Yes, both Tiger's and
our guest.
Our guest?
Yeah. We'll introduce her in a minute. Okay, enough.
Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to the only radio that matters, BBS Talk Radio.
Whoops, we forgot we're back.
We got a little carried away talking to the rest of them.
The song is over and we're nowhere to be found. Okay, we didn't even situate our guest here. You want to take
Alana,
a seat?
Alana, come ahead and take a seat.
Take your headphones. Get comfortable. If you don't hear yourself very well when you talk, then just get a little bit closer. But if you hear popping, just kind of pull back a little bit, okay? You see, we have to tell her the rules because we're such losers that we didn't even prepare for this. So now we have to do this on the air, you know? But, okay, we have a guest, right?
Yes.
A very beautiful guest, I might add.
Thank you.
And your name?
Alana Joy.
She looks like a little baby doll.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you. And but definitely the name you would not forget either. You know, Alana Joy just kind of rolls off your tongue. You know, it's nice. I like that. So is that a professional name or?
That's my first name and my middle name.
Oh, I see. Okay. So, but that's what you go by in your career, right?
Yes.
Okay, and tell us why you're here.
I'm here to promote my new song, which I just finished last week.
Uh-huh.
It's called Good Enough.
Uh-huh. Great. So how long have you been a singer?
I've always loved to sing, but I started recording songs in 2005. So, you know, and it's been fun, and it's been a learning process, like kind of an evolution of learning how to record and honing my writing skills for these kinds of songs, and because I'm used to writing more like poetry and things like that, and then turning it into songs is a little different.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Hey, I never thought about that.
So you actually compose your own songs too? Lyrics?
I write the lyrics.
You write the lyrics.
And you know, and come up with how I'm going to sing it. Well, sometimes I get help with that too, but I do write all my lyrics, and then I have producers who make tracks for me.
Really? Mm-hmm. Nice. So you have someone specific you work with who does the music?
It depends. I've worked with different producers.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Depending on the current thing that you're doing. I don't know, God. What would you say? The sound. Okay.
I just, you know, if I meet someone else who does music who happens to make beats or tracks, you know, I'll give it a listen. And if something sounds like really hot to me, then, you know, I'll talk to them and be like, well, you know, what's it going to take to work together and make a song out of this?
So. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah.
Remember we had a conversation about that, you know, how do they connect the words with the beats and who does what?
Right.
Remember
that sometimes you write the lyrics and then put the music on top, and then sometimes
and
you
it's
do
really
the music
actually first. Quite a fascinating process. It seems to be even more difficult than what an actress has to do.
Well, yeah, it depends. But if it comes to you naturally and you're talented, then
well,
it's not
an
effort.
I think it's a little different. Like, I've done acting also, and I think with acting, it's like I think singing the song is to acting the role, as writing the song is to writing the script. So it's almost two different hats
that you're wearing.
That's
right. That's right.
Yeah. Totally different.
Yeah. So you see, Manu, I mean, stick to your acting. You don't need to write anything.
But I think that
I write poetry.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I have a couple of books at home.
Usually an artist in general is an artist, like overall.
That's right.
And very seldom do you meet someone who acts and that's all they do.
Right.
Or sing and that's all they do, especially in LA, because everybody's like, I'm singer / actress / model / writer / producer / that. You know, I mean, we all have that. I have that. You have that.
I do.
Yeah, everybody in LA is a celebrity or a wannabe, right? But that's cool. So, and how old are you?
Don't ask that
question. Oh, I'm sorry. What am I asking? Yeah. I mean, I totally forgot my manners.
No, but I wanted
to introduce to the audience, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like when I say don't ask that, though, then people probably think I'm like 45.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
not.
She's definitely not. She looks very young.
She's in my
20s. Yeah,
she's
in her 20s.
Her 20s.
In my early
20s. And to me, it's very young because I'm an old fart at 47.
Are you that old?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not far behind you. You know that.
Yeah, well, you're quite a bit far. But I can't even remember when I was 28. I mean, I had a blast in my 20s. You know, it's probably it's like the best time. Well, you said she's in her 20s, right? Didn't you? Somebody said it here. Okay, never mind. She's 52, actually, but we're just lying about it.
I'm 52, and I have a great surgeon. No, I'm kidding.
That's a good one.
At least you don't look like Tammy Faye.
No work done. I've always said, like, you can't fake a face. You know, leave your face alone. Whatever you want to do to everything else, it's fine. But when you mess with your face, you can tell.
Yeah.
I love that. I love those cartoons, you know, that have been popping up, you know, like the old lady, you know, and she's had breast implants. So she's, like, growing old, and she's all saggy and wrinkly and everything on a cane.
Uh-huh.
But she's got these big... silicon breasts that just remain ample.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't work. Yeah,
that's
we were actually talking about surgeries before you came about that stuff. Yeah. So and let me ask you, how long have you lived in LA all your life?
No, I was born in New York, Rockland County, so kind of outside the city, and I lived there for 12 years, and then my family moved to South Florida, where I lived for 8 years, and then I came out to LA. And I've been here for a long time.
Really?
How long?
Yeah.
How long?
Another 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so do the math and now you know how old I am.
Yeah, so you can't... Well, we still can't figure out. There's a couple of variables missing. But so for those mathematicians who want to figure it out. But so you came out to the big city in order to make it. So did you always know you wanted to sing and make it big?
I always have loved to act and sing and write. I mean, and not only that, but I mean, I love to, you know, I love fashion and, you know, I craft and I crochet and I decoupage. I mean, it, wow. Like I said, if you're an artist, like everything is art to you, and you see art everywhere. And, but I mean, it's almost like I have no choice. Like, it makes me happy. And, when I say have no choice, like, it's like, even in my downtime, if I'm not writing a song or, you know, working on some kind of like short film or something, I'm writing poetry for pleasure, or doing something artistic for pleasure, going to a museum, or, you know, making a scarf for a friend or something like that. It's just a nice outlet, I think.
I think you,
Manu, how come you don't make me scarves and stuff, you know?
No, I do. What is it? I do. I have a scarf at home that I crocheted. Okay. Yeah.
Just for me.
No, not for you.
Oh, okay. Well, she said she did it for a friend.
No, I did it for myself.
Oh, okay.
I finally started doing them for myself.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, no. I crocheted it for myself because I wanted to... I remember crocheting or knitting when I was little. Mm-hmm. And because I really wanted to learn how to do it, some odd reason. Mm-hmm. And then just out of the blue, I was like, you know, what the hell? I'm going to go and buy some... or what started it was I walked past one of those shops where you buy the yarns and everything like that. And I saw the most beautiful wool, the color and everything like that. I was like, oh, my God, that's gorgeous. What the hell? I'll just make a scarf out of it.
I mean, scarves are so easy to make.
Yeah, so easy.
Mm-hmm. And then it's different because it's like no one else has it. And it's special for you. And it's better than anyone you're going to find because you made it like with exactly the material you want.
It's mine.
Yeah. Custom. Custom.
But you're right about, you know, if you're an artist... you find art in every form, matter. I mean, like, I could walk along and see an ant, something like that on the ground, and then there's just something unusual about it, and it's like, oh, wow, that's beautiful. You know, so you observe things way differently than
it's
regular.
It's true. I mean, I think, like I've, like, been walking and seen, like, a crack in the sidewalk with, like, a dandelion growing out of it and, like, stopped and taken a picture, and it's totally pointless to anyone else. But to me, it's like... It's art. It's a statement, you know. And then some people will look at that and be like, why did this girl take a picture of a weed growing out of a sidewalk?
Yeah, but, exactly.
You know, an artist will look at that and maybe... see something else.
Yeah,
you know,
even
symbolic.
Chip paint. It's just crazy what your mind does.
Yeah. So you couldn't imagine yourself doing anything else, right, other than singing?
I think no matter what I do, I'll always still do this because it pleases me. And as long
Keeps
as it pleases
happy.
Me, I'll keep on doing it. And, you know, if other people like it, even better. But if they don't, I'm probably still going to keep doing it because it makes me happy.
So. Yeah, and that's the important
that's
thing. Yeah, and that's why Manu and I are here and the rest
that's
of the people
I'm here. Yeah,
because we love doing this, you know.
Entertaining.
So, describe the kind of music, and I'll cue it up here. Just describe to us the kind of music or what went behind doing the song. How long did it take you?
I wrote this song and recorded it in about probably a 2-week process, and so that was cool because that's not too long, I don't think. And I'm really happy with it. It's a very poppy song, kind of. I guess if I had to give myself a genre, it'd be R&B pop. But it's a very poppy song. I like that because lots of people can relate to it, and it's fun to listen to. And this song in particular is it's a song about being in a relationship, being in love, and you make a mistake, and you know that you totally screwed up.
Fucked up.
And the song
Gee, that
about,
never happened to me.
it's never happened to me either.
We've all been there, you know, like sometimes you've been on one side of it, and sometimes you've been on the other, but, you know, for being on the side of, you know, being the one who messed up, it's like sometimes you mess up, and you accept responsibility, and you own it, and you do everything you can think of to try to make it up to that person, and they're just like not even hearing it from you. It's almost like, you know what, I messed up, and I accept that, but I've done everything I should do, and if that's not good enough,
that's fine. It. Yeah, but
and
you do the best
that's,
you can.
That's what the song is about. It's about, you know, really trying to do the right thing. You know, to mess up is human, I think, and we're all going to mess up, and I think if you're really in love, you know, you have to be able to accept that you're both going to make mistakes and mutually forgive each other. And some mistakes are worse than others, granted. But I think, you know, we all make major mistakes. If you're going to be with somebody for years and years, there's going to be some major screw-ups that are going to happen. And you know, you're going to be a bad person and say, well, I screwed up, forget it, forget you, I messed up, it's all over. Or you can say, you know, I screwed up and I'm so sorry and I'm going to do everything I can to make this up to you. But if that's not good enough for the person, you can't, you know, it's, what are you going to do? You have nothing left to say, but that's fine. Then I'll move on, you know.
But you got to have some cooperation there. I mean, because I'll be the first one to admit I make mistakes, but my wife seems that I'm right, that I'm the only one who makes mistakes. So I don't know how that works. But
Well, I like the fact that you use the word human. We're all human. Sometimes we have to acknowledge that.
I mean, it's just unrealistic to think that you can. You know, you're going to see, and it's like you get into a relationship and you know ahead of time you're going to see the best of each other and the worst of each other. And sometimes when you see the worst in each other, it's very scary. And sometimes the worst of each other can be, you know, hurtful or abusive or, you know, really ugly. But I think if it's like a temporary thing, if it's been going on for like, you know, years and years, maybe it's time to walk away. But, you know, if it's like something that just started happening, and then maybe it's something you should work through and really try to battle it together. There's probably a reason why this is becoming a current issue. Now I'm getting all like
great
into my own personal story.
But. She's got a second job, and that is being a psychiatrist. You know?
She's got a second job and speaking really fast.
Yeah, and dispensing advice. So what's the name of the song?
Good Enough.
Good enough.
Okay, let's take a listen. I like poppy songs.
Let's go, Poppy.
Yes. Alana Joy. It's 4-5. Tell them. Yes.
Said that wasn't good enough, but I don't know if you know what good enough is.
If that ain't good enough for you, you said you're taking that age.
You like the beat? It's nice, huh?
I like it.
Yeah.
Good work, producer.
I did.
Oh, really?
No, a producer produced it. I wrote it and sang it. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But someone else wrote the music and produced the song. Yeah.
The beat.
Yeah. The actual track of it.
Right.
But you sing nice.
And I'm pleading, I'm pleading. Just call me. I'm sorry. I told you I was sorry.
Do all the vocals? Really? All the background vocals? Nice.
Wow.
Sounds as good to me as any song on the radio. You know? It really does. We got a call, but I don't know what I'm going to do with this phone. But you know what? Let's answer it and we'll continue. Let's just see who that is. Hold on. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. You're on the air. Okay. They hung up. They just interrupted our music. Sorry about that.
How Jeez. Dare they?
You see, we're still getting things working here, so... We get a caller, they disturbed the whole friggin' show.
And they hung up on us.
And they hung up.
Let's listen to the rest of this song.
Well, this song definitely deserves some play on the radio, I think, huh? What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. So how long did it take you? Two weeks you worked on this song?
To write the song and then lay down all the vocals.
Oh, really? From concept?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty fast.
It was pretty fast, yeah.
So how many, because you said you've done all the vocals.
Mm-hmm.
So how many levels are there, different type of levels?
At different points of the song, there's different, you know, numbers of, the, I guess, tracks where we're harmonizing.
Okay, that's what I'm, okay.
Yeah, some points of the song, there's like, I think maybe like two or three different harmonies going on.
Right.
And some points of the song, there's none. And some, we just like doubled up on the main vocal. And
oh, okay. So, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's a number of tracks. So you like play one, this part of the song, then you go over and you add another vocal behind it. And
right,
it just
exactly,
goes on and on.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
That takes some talent or anything, really.
It really does, you know. And I love singing. I've always sang, and I've written songs and stuff.
You sang?
Yeah,
oh, yeah, that's
I told
right.
you about it, yeah.
You still
we'll
have
play
to
my stuff sometime. But I love singing, you know. And I think after all these years, just only a few months ago, I actually went into a studio and recorded, and there's nothing like it. You know, it's just Manu, you know, it's just like for me, it was like an orgasm. You know, I mean, I'm just sitting there with the headphones, with the microphone, and the music's playing, and you're just producing. You're producing the sounds, you know, you're generating a song.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like it. You know, I enjoyed it a great deal, you know. And then you work and you sweeten it and you make it better and better and better. And it's
fun to watch how a song evolves from when you're listening to the music and you're just like kind of coming up with the idea,
right.
And then you like lay down a main vocal and you kind of have like the skeleton of it, and then you start adding things in, little extra sounds and little extra, like, you know, ad libs and harmonies, and then next thing you know, you're listening to the whole thing and it just sounds so full and amazing. So
great.
It's exciting.
Great. Now, have you found an agent yet and someone to help you promote yourself?
I do not have management right now. I actually, like I said earlier, I had some songs I did with a producer a couple years ago, and they're just kind of dated at this point, and it was time for some new stuff. So I'm working on this song, and then I have two more coming from this producer.
Right.
So hopefully I'll love the next two just as much as I love this one, and I'll put them up on my MySpace.
Uh-huh. And then you're going to start promoting them and pitching them. And
then I'll start,
like
then I'll send out a package. I'd really love to do a video for this song.
Uh-huh.
So that would be great to add to the package.
Yeah. Well, if someone likes you, they're going to invest in the video as well.
If you are in management or you are looking to invest in music, please check out my MySpace, which is myspace.com/AlanaJoyMusic.
Okay, and how do you spell Alana?
A-L-A-N-A.
Okay.
J-O-Y.
Right.
Music.
Right. Okay. It sounds great. Now, what are do you have any acting plans at all?
Not in the works right now, but I've done some short films and some music videos and some fun stuff like that, and I'm very interested in doing more. So.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. You know, so we'll put your link up on our website.
Okay.
If people want to listen to more of your music, is there any more music on your website, or is it just the song?
There's a little snippet of a cover that I did of a Joss Stone song.
Love Joss.
It's a piece of her Right to Be Wrong, which is so my song right now.
Have you heard of Joss Stone?
No, I never heard.
Oh,
she's got a beautiful
sexy
voice, very soulful.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And I wanted to put something up there that was, you know, I recorded, you know, in my house.
Yeah.
It's a raw recording. It's not like, you know, polished and produced. It's just something I did at home over an instrumental because I wanted to, because I love the song and I was just practicing, but it came out nice, and I wanted to have, you know, something. Like, I have this, like, way-produced pop song on there, and I just wanted something a little more real.
Yeah.
You know, too, so.
When she came out, I fell in love with her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Was it, she did that cover of In Love With a Boy?
She did. Didn't she do a whole album of covers, I think? Or no?
I don't know. But I know she leaped out into, you know, the business, into the sound by doing the cover of In Love With a Boy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I just watch, and she's so earthy. I mean, she doesn't wear any shoes. She's very bohemian-like, and she's, And before even seeing who she was, just to listen to her voice, I swore that she was, you know, a black woman.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, oh my God, Simone. You know, like
Nina Simone.
Nina Simone. Right. And everything like that. Mm-hmm. And I could just, and then I saw her and I was like, oh my God.
Well, white people have soul too.
Yeah. Like Christina Aguilera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Christina Aguilera.
Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
You know, I still, she's like all in the tabloids about
it.
You know,
she suddenly comes out of nowhere just because she's
out of nowhere. And
I don't know if you guys saw the Grammys last night, but I actually, I blog also. I have a fashion blog, and I have my personal blog also. And
yeah.
I wrote on my personal blog last night after I saw her performance on the Grammys, because I love her as an artist. I mean, lyrically, her lyrics are so just really honest and deep and naked and just real. And you can't help but listen to her music, and you feel vulnerable if you're really feeling the song, because she's so vulnerable in the song. And her pain is like she wears it on her sleeve, you know. It's
really,
and you know, I mean, it's like when you're looking at her as a woman and you're going, okay, you know, she's a crackhead with an incarcerated husband, you know, I mean, but you know, I'm not here to judge you as a woman. I don't even know you, you know, but as an artist, like, her voice has got this like vintage quality, and her talent is just undeniable. And I really was proud of her that she got it together and gave a really strong performance last night, and she won numerous Grammys. And she won, I think it was like five, or she got nominated for six. She won like four or five.
Yeah, she won a lot.
Including Record of the Year, something like Female Pop Vocalist of the Year, I think. I mean, there was numerous. And the look on her face after she performed, they showed her face when she won for Record of the Year. And I mean, she was like, what? But like, she had this like she was stunned, and she was like in awe, and you could tell she was like elated and just was like grateful. And everybody on stage was like hugging her, and the audience started chanting her name. They were like, Amy, Amy. I mean, it was amazing. I haven't seen anything like that in the Grammys in a long time. It was just very real. I think people are rooting for her. I think it's in our nature to root for the underdog.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that she has actual talent. I mean, you know, she really, really does. And so I hope she cleans it up.
Was actually on the stage, because I heard she was denied visa.
No, it was via satellite.
Yeah, well, she was denied, and then they said okay.
Uh-huh.
And then I guess her or her people decided it would be best if she stayed there anyway.
I see,
and,
okay.
I mean, because I'm sorry, but if you're in recovery, you shouldn't be running around to all, like, the Grammy parties in L.A.
No.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
No,
right.
Get clean, get strong, and then come do that. You know, I mean, she's been a mess since her album dropped in the States, and we've still bought it hook, line, and sinker. So if she gets it together and comes back to tour again, I had tickets to her show, and she bailed on the show, and I had to get a refund. I was very sad.
Wow.
But I forgive her, because she's amazing.
I never even knew who she was.
I know, like, until this whole rehab thing came up, you know?
Well, then
she's in the
video court, smoking crack, and then DUI, and then rehab, and then she's like, my God, who is this? You know, why is she up in the tabloids all of a sudden? Who is she?
Yeah, but then you listen to her music and you're like,
well, I haven't heard it.
Save her, please. Somebody.
I haven't heard her. Yeah, I haven't heard
her. Please listen to it.
We'll listen to it.
I have a feeling.
We'll find some of her music and we'll play it.
Yep. But now we're going to, I guess, is there, so do you want to plug, okay, you plugged your MySpace.
MySpace.com/AlanaJoyMusic. I've got my fashion blog, if you're into fashion. I write a fashion blog called CoutureCult.com.
CoutureCult.com.
CoutureCult.com. And that's all about fashion. I've actually, my job has been in the fashion industry for some years. So that's another passion of mine.
And are you designing?
Not yet. Not yet. I'm actually looking for a fledgling designer to work together with creating a line, which is actually a new idea that I have that I'd really like to do. But that's more just talking about what's hot and what's not, and what's on the runways and the trends and what I see.
Did you see what's not hot?
What's hot and what's not hot. Yeah, I saw some not hot on the Grammys last night, for sure.
Like, what are these people thinking?
Yeah. Who's your stylist and how'd they get that job, you know? Who'd you pay a lot of money to make you look bad? So that's fun, and that's just, you know, a little side passion. And then if you go to alanajoy.tumblr.com, that's just my personal blog, talking about my life and what's going on and little miscellaneous things that I
okay.
like.
Okay.
Sounds cool. Sounds good. Okay, so thank you, Alana. Joey?
Thank you so
It's
much.
Been great.
Yeah.
I'm glad you came. That was a pleasant surprise.
Thank you for having me.
It was, pleasure. Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a
it's
pleasure
like, well,
surprise.
Hello, come on in.
Yeah.
Take a seat.
Yeah. So we'll come right back.
Yeah.
And we'll
what
play.
Have you got in line?
Yeah. Well, we're going to play Alana's song as we
okay.
pull out.
All right.
All right.
Oh, the pull out. Yes. Alana Joy. It's 4-5. Tell us. Yes. Said that wasn't good enough, but I don't know if you know what good enough is. It better be good enough for you. You better be good enough for you.
We're back.
And we weren't interrupted this time.
No, we weren't interrupted.
So we got to hear the whole song
yeah,
straight up.
Yeah. And that was Alana Joy. I think it was a nice interview. And I like her song. I really do. Yeah, and I think she'll do well. Okay, so we're going to get back with Tiger, who has been sitting patiently here since she thought she'd get an hour and a half. But
And took a smoke break.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so it wasn't
Don't
that bad,
Don't you wish
right?
you could do that,
I'm sure.
Sam?
Oh, man, this stretch of 2 hours is driving me crazy. That's why I try to puff as much as I can before the show starts.
Suck it in, Sam.
Yeah. So, we left off with the Bible and everything, right?
Oh, yeah, but we're going to, you know, that was it.
Yeah.
But the other reason why... Tiger is here because she too is also an artist. She has also got her own album called Lyrics,
right.
and it's it's an interesting concept of, I don't know, Tiger, you go ahead and explain your kind of music.
Sure. The band was actually called Lyric.
Okay.
The album is called Masquerade.
Oh, my bad.
No.
Okay.
That's completely okay. There was six of us. We were considered a political rock band, I suppose. People really couldn't nail it down, which I guess is a good thing in the papers. It was groovy, poetic folk rock or jam band or, you know, like nobody could really put their finger on it, which is great. There were six of us.
Yeah. Well, tell us your stage experience with Arlo Guthrie. And, you know Arlo Guthrie?
No, I don't.
Oh, my God.
Who is that?
Go ahead,
He's
Tiger.
An amazing musician. His father was
legendary.
Yeah, and his father was legendary. And his father really was like, because I did the spoken word slams a lot, he's considered the, like, father of spoken word.
Really?
You know? Yeah, he's amazing.
Good. So tell us about a little about the music. Although I was thinking we're going to go into lesbianism first, but I guess
we did.
Into music. So much for my control of the show, but that's okay. All right. So it's called Masquerade, Hidden Beneath a Face.
Yeah.
Okay. So is that part of the title too?
No, it's a poem that when you open up the album, you can like flip either way to make a poem. So Hidden Beneath a Face is either the very beginning. If you pull out the sleeve, or you can flip it around and start backwards. It actually took a month to figure out, no matter what page you're doing it on.
So it doesn't matter in which order you read it? It's
no, that's what
sense?
I'm saying. Like, you can even fold it backwards
right.
and do it, no matter what you do.
We are
you
found,
do it.
We search through hollowed eyes, lost beyond behind the disguise. Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
So that's unusual, yeah. So, okay, so we have... Tiger CD here.
Yes.
And let's hear a couple tracks. Which one do you like?
Well, track 9, all the tracks are really long, so you probably only be able to play one. Track 9 starts with my flute playing. The lyrics don't come in for a minute.
Okay. And
She plays the flute as well.
Really?
On top of lyrics,
wow.
Yes.
Well, we'll play a few songs. We just don't have to play the whole song.
Yeah.
We'll just get an idea.
Let's do 9 first.
Okay. Let's do 9.
Number 9.
But we got to wait a moment for the CD to load, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But number 9. Okay, let's
see.
What's it called?
Little Bit of.
Okay,
do we get to hear the lyrics right away?
I think so, pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Because there were so many musicians with degrees in music, we liked to always to open our songs with a little bit of the...
Right. Because every one of your band members went to, like, huge... colleges with music, right?
Well,
or something like that.
Or just studied their instrument really, really, really well. Except for me. So it was really funny trying to communicate with the band.
Yeah, that's cool. So this one's number 3, did we say?
Yes.
Masquerade.
Oh, yeah, I remember this one.
This is the title track.
This is the title track.
The lyrics are shortly in.
To the trumpet, huh?
Yeah. Wow. This is Tiger Moon lyric. That's her singing.
Yeah. That's cool. Another one? I liked it, you know?
You like it?
I do. I really do.
I gave Doug... the CD, and he loves it.
Really?
So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and put it up on BBS radio.
All right.
Yeah.
7 is pretty interesting because it's just a djembe drum.
Djembe drum?
African drum and what's called a juice harp, which is rarely used in music.
Really?
Yeah.
What's it called again?
Juice harp.
Juice?
You stick it between your teeth and you flick it.
Flick it?
Oh,
yeah.
Hard to do, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, this would be interesting.
Hear it?
Oh, yeah. Can you hear it?
Yeah, in the
back. Reach, she can see the golden of the sun, the healing.
survived. It's good this song can actually get some radio play because it's got a swear in it.
Oh, yeah.
Race to steal the light. Stepping on each other in this buck you fight.
Nice words. I like that.
And we race to steal the light. Stepping on each other in this buck you fight. She enters the cave, bold and brave. And just within reach, she can.
That sounds cool. So you have like different kinds of music.
I mean, like, every song sounds completely different.
Yeah, that's good. Which
she's also, I mean, she does spoken word and political spoken word, and you know, and I think like we should get her to do her spoken word piece in person.
Yeah.
Since you know we've got this politics going on and everything like that, so she has a very powerful spoken word that I've heard her say about, you know, about you know, voting and the importance of it and where it's come from and where it's based from and to be earth to it. So, Tiger.
That's actually how the band got started. I call it Lyric because I had been doing the slams for a while, which is a competition and winning and winning and winning. And then it got so competitive that I thought that's not why we're here.
Yeah.
And when I ended up on stage with Arlo Guthrie, I realized I was only there because he had given me that moment as a musician and that if my words were going to be heard, I would have to learn how to sing them. Hence, joining a band and calling the band Lyric.
Right, right.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Well, that's great. So we'll put Tiger's links, whatever links you have. Do you have a website too?
Well, no, I have a MySpace.
Okay, we'll link to
everyone has the MySpace.
Right.
Yeah,
I know. It's easier. It's free. I had a website for a little while, but it got expensive, especially with the strike.
Okay, so what's the MySpace URL?
MySpace/tribe, T-R-I-B-E, F-O-R-O-N-E, tribe for one.
Oh, Tribe for One.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's myspace.com/mytribeforone.
Just Tribe for
One. Oh, Tribe for One.
Tribe for One.
I'm like thinking the MySpace. Okay.
MySpace.
All right, well, I've waited long enough in the wings, and now it's my turn.
Your turn.
Right?
Okay, go ahead.
So now we're going to talk about lesbianism.
Right.
We talked about Bible. We talked about tattoos. We talked about music. And no, I mean, because you know,
this
I've
is
got,
Sam's favorite topic, by the way.
Well, it's not only mine, but I can't tell you how many people that sent us feedback. That's all they remember.
Oh no!
Yeah,
and it's all because of me.
All because of you.
Yeah. But everyone,
and then people think that it's me who likes it, you know. And yet, Manu is the one that brings it up every time.
You know? I'm trying to convert her.
Yeah, I know. It's like I always wonder what's going on behind those closed doors.
She already says I'm bi.
Yeah. Well, Manu is in the mode of deny, but I'm not so sure. So
I got her hooked on L word.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You're still gonna get the series.
Yeah, I know. I still have to watch it, but every time I try to catch an episode, it's always like boring, you know. So I don't know if I'm not really following this. But let me ask you this, Tiger. When did you first realize that you're also so you're bisexual? You're attracted to men. Is there a preference? I mean, do you like one more than the other?
I mean, I suppose I'm leaning more towards women because they're more understanding and gentle.
Mm-hmm.
Men have a tendency to have a lot of ego, and they have a lot of like in and out. They're
no pun
sexually
intended,
right? No, yeah. But really, they're just very aggressive. And I think that women are a lot more capable of compassion and apology and humbleness, and they're just softer.
Right. So it's not just the sex part, but also the relationship part.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
I see. Okay. And did you ever have a relationship with both a man and a woman at the same time? Or?
No,
you're like a one person.
Yeah,
type
absolutely.
Of a,
yeah. Yeah, I just believe that love should be love, however it looks.
Yeah.
That we should stop really trying to put it in a box of what it's supposed to look like, because we wouldn't be making movies over and over again in Hollywood about what it's supposed to look like if it really existed. We'd be bored with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. So, and your first sexual experience, was that with a man or a woman? Or?
It was with a man, actually.
It was with a man.
Yeah.
Okay. How old were you?
I was a teenager in high school. I kind of lived in a rough neighborhood. It's a really funny story because I was really sick of my friends all talking about sex. So I pretty much pointed to this kid and said, you're spending the night.
Jeez, man. How could that never happen to me?
I felt so left out of the conversation.
That's so funny.
So it wasn't really out of love. The first love sex I had was with a woman.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. And how old were you then?
I was 17.
Wow.
How did that happen?
I just really wasn't, it was my best friend, and I was starting to notice I had deep feelings for her, and that when we would have slumber parties and she'd be changing in front of me, that I actually thought that was attractive.
Wow.
But I didn't know how she felt, and it's kind of torture when you don't know that. And we had, of course, in your teenage years when they used to have Mad Dog liquor. You know, it's a liquor. It's a horrible, horrible liquor if anybody is from there.
Have you heard of it?
No, never heard of Mad Dog.
Oh, goodness. So we just kind of had a drunkard night where I just decided to all bar none. I'm going to go for it.
Yeah, take advantage of her when she's drunk. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So how did it happen? I mean, you guys were like in the apartment
or
something?
Yeah, we were hanging out, and we had this just hilarious laughter moment. We're just laughing hysterically, which let us, you know, get closer and closer. And then just a moment of silence, and I leaned in and started to kiss her. And then I was really scared, so I pulled away. Like, I don't know how she's going to feel about this. She's going to kick me out, and I'm drunk, and I don't know how, you know, all these thoughts going through my head. And I pulled back and kind of looked at her. And then she leaned in and went for it.
Wow. So, but you just sort of did this. It's it's not like there was any eye contact where you could tell that she's anticipating or expecting you to?
I think in that moment of silence, I saw an invite.
Really?
You know? Yeah. And it's the hardest thing in the gay and lesbian community to really know. You know, to, like, have a gaydar, I really wish I really had one, because you never know.
Yeah.
Like,
Sam had one.
I think they're looking at me like they like me, but some people are just really open and free and loving, but very straight, and so they might be sending you mixed messages, you know?
Yeah, it's hard to know. But I think always in relationships, whether it's you know, heterosexual or homosexual, you always have that, like, how are they going to react, you know? You don't know whether they're going to reject you or go along with it, you know?
I think we're all afraid of rejection at that moment, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's like the first time I advanced to William. You know, I had no idea I was going to do it. And I came home one night and had a few, you know,
drinks. Again. Here we go again with all the
drinks,
drunkard women.
The
doing
drunken
crazy
women,
stuff.
Yeah. But not the Mad Dog.
Right.
And lo and behold, I parked the car and I walked underneath the apartment and seen that he was having a shower and music and the lights were down. I was like, oh, this is really cool. And I didn't even think in my mind that he could have had someone else up there, because he was dating other women, because we were friends before we started dating.
Uh-huh.
And anyways, I just went up there. I didn't even look around. And I just stripped off and just jumped in the shower with him.
Really?
Just like
so
that.
So he was taking a shower and then you just walked in and took off your clothes and jumped in the shower with him?
I walked in butt naked.
Wow.
And we just had sex the rest of the night. It was really awesome.
And how long after you guys started going out did this happen?
No. We hadn't even started going out.
Oh.
We were still friends.
Oh, so you were friends. Wait a minute. Wait, I just missed this whole thing now.
Yeah,
so you guys were friends and then you made the move.
I made the move, yeah.
He never, like, showed you that he was interested or anything?
No. No.
Just friends.
We were just friends, hanging out, having coffee.
How long had you been friends for?
About 2 or 3 months.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's still sexual tension. I mean, it's not
possibly.
Like...
On his side.
Really?
Yeah, I was just...
Oh, give me a break. Yeah, she's not going to admit this. And then she's the one that walks in the shower, in the bathroom, you know?
So, yeah. I mean, what's the, I don't know, what's the immediate attraction? Because you're bisexual, right? Do you now, like, look at men like, oh, yeah, no? I mean, because you still would claim that you would end up with a man eventually, maybe?
I just want to let love be love. So I used to imagine that in the end I'd be with a man, because I've been taught the same way the rest of our society has been taught, that that's what's supposed to happen. I'm a lot more open now that I've grown into who I am, to just let love be love. I understand the concept of adoption and that somebody can't actually play the role of husband, even if they're a woman, or vice versa, or that it can be very mutual, that we can share roles like that. I tend to, if I'm attracted to a man, find out that they're gay.
Oh, really?
Which is really funny, because then they're possessing those qualities. I think I used to be the girl.
The feminine side. They're possessing the feminine
side.
Yeah,
just humbleness. That's what it's really it's about. It's about humbleness and lack of ego. And I think that one of the... When I used to date men, they were trophy men. It was all based on the way they looked, and there was so much more to it than that anymore. So I'll meet a man, and I'll be really attracted to him. They will be a little feminine, and they're just really kind, and then lo and behold, they're gay. So I don't know what that means. You know, maybe I'll inevitably end up with a woman, but I also am, I don't look like your typical lesbian, so I have a really hard time fitting in.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so what's a typical lesbian? I mean, because obviously not all of them are manly or butch, and then not all of them. So how do you mean you're not like...
Yeah, and I guess I shouldn't... there isn't a typical...
Yeah, it's not like there's a stereotype, right?
Right.
Although I think often you can pick them out in a crowd because of the cropped hairdos sometimes, mm-hmm. and
the way they
walk.
Dress.
Yes, the way they dress, the way they walk. And you can totally see that.
But, they're powerful.
But you're right. I mean, looking at you, I would never know.
Right. And so I think you either have to be ridiculously gorgeous, because I look very much like a woman.
Right.
Or you have to look a little bit more like a boy.
I see.
And I don't know. When I lived anywhere else but Los Angeles, I was the ridiculously gorgeous girl. But I have been more intimidated going out in Los Angeles. I felt more unaccepted here than I've ever felt in my life, both as a native woman and a lesbian.
Wow. In
it's
L.A.
Very, it's very clicky here. Yeah. People aren't very open. They're standing and fighting for human rights in every possible way, except to the person right next to them. They'll shove you over. They don't apologize. They don't recognize you in the room because you're not with their group. It's been really frustrating. I kind of went on a rant last night at this party about it, at this fundraiser, because I was feeling very unaccepted.
That's a terrible feeling, man. That's a terrible
feeling. And like last night, there were a number of really good-looking, gorgeous women who were lesbian. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all based here on what it is that you do, and it's funny because as time went on, if I was to know a group, they'd be blown away by who I am. But I don't want to define myself by, I have an album, and I did this, and I won this award, and I got that, and I'm really wealthy, and da-da-da. I want people to just look me in the eye and say, you have a spirit, and you're real. I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen here very
much. No, this town, it's definitely not the place to look for that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're very much in touch with the material.
That's why we go to the Falcon, Sam.
Yes,
I
that's why you go to the Falcon.
I love it.
Because you don't go in there intimidated.
No. But I've decided I'm going to disguise myself as a woman one night and go with you guys. You know, actually, one Halloween I did that, you know, a long time ago.
Isn't that funny how men in a Halloween, they will always dress up as a woman at some point?
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe it's like a hidden desire or something.
Sure.
I don't know. But it's kind of like you wonder what it's like, you know, with the stockings and the bra and the long hair. And, you know,
having to put the makeup on.
Oh, my God, man. I looked horrible, but I looked convincing, you know. Maybe not a pretty woman, but like a fucking transsexual or something.
You're the Hillary Clinton one. Sorry, Hillary.
Yeah. That's funny.
I can just imagine you.
Yeah, I know. So I'm going to have to do that one day. And walk in with you guys, because I want someone to actually hit on me. I don't want to just walk in as a man
and
be out of place.
I wonder if we could go in with Sam one night, just so that Sam could take a look.
And it's not exclusive for
gay
and lesbian.
I don't think so.
At all.
Yeah. I would just, I mean, at worst, I'd just go in as a gay man or something, you know. whatever it takes to get in.
Well, the doorman knows us now.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, hey, how you doing? Oh, hi. And then the bartender knows me, too, so he gives me free beers.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Still, to this day.
Okay, now I know why you like going there. You're feeling at home now, right?
Free beers.
Yeah. So we're almost out of time, but Tiger, is there anything else you wanted to say, some kind of a message? I mean, you're obviously very spiritual, I can tell, and stuff,
thank
right?
you.
So is there any message you want to give anybody? Do you want to we give a link for your website, and we'll also put it on our website.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, you can find me on IMDb. I'm trying to act. I really would love to pursue my music, except my whole band is not living in Los Angeles, and there's 180,000 other people trying to do the same thing. So
it's the same with acting.
I really have come here to try and break open the door a little bit for the Native American voice here in the mecca that kind of runs the world.
And she's been involved with filming documentaries as well.
Yeah,
so there's a strong Native community here in Los Angeles.
Really?
Very much a part of that as far as media goes. Yeah. We've been following the gay and lesbian community to figure out how they got their voice, because they have a very strong voice right now.
Wow.
And it's amazing. I commend anybody out there who's been working on that, because it's been really hard for us as a Native peoples, and we really were against it for a long time, trying to be involved in media, but we realized it's depicting our children's lives with or without us. Mm. And right now our statistics are horrific.
Really?
As far as the highest suicide rate in the nation, the highest dropout rate in the nation,
really?
The highest diabetes rate in the nation, the lowest life expectancy in the nation. I mean, these are sad
imagine.
Statistics.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine it'd be pretty stressful living like that, you know? I mean, it's just, you know, you feel like you're an outsider in your own land, you know, and it's unfortunate. But I think, I mean, I think this country has come a long way, you know. I mean, I think at least they've been open with the casino deals and all that stuff, you know, to be a little more open to help the natives, you know, with whatever endeavors they have. But I can't imagine that to this day they still, many of them live on reservations and stuff. You know,
yeah, so there's a really strong reason for that, but that would have to be another show because it's kind of a long story.
Yes. Okay, but
hey, Tiger.
You see, now I'm curious about that.
Right.
I really want to know.
And MySpace, Tribe for One. I want to throw that out there one more time.
MySpace.com/Tribe for One.
Yeah, F-O-R.
O-N-E.
Yes. O-N-E.
Okay.
Yeah.
And vote.
Right.
Please vote. Yeah, there's a voting poem on that.
Oh,
MySpace
yes.
MySpace that you really
That was the spoken word. So on that page, there is the vote, spoken word on that.
Okay, well, I'm going to definitely go there and vote.
Yeah, do so.
Yes, we'll do. Tiger, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Sam.
Okay, I'm sure we'll have you back soon.
Yeah.
We haven't even begun to grill her yet. I mean,
I know. I really wanted to ask her what
she's,
her...
The whole world will know everything about you by the time we're done with you.
But I wanted to ask her just one more thing. Like, what would be your most erotic experience with a woman? Wham, bang, out there, big O kind of thing.
Yeah. Are you like a toy type of a woman?
Oh, sure.
Yeah?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, like strap-ons and
I'm
everything.
I'm excited to finally find a squishy penis.
That's find the old man
toys and babeland.com. You can get your toys there, yep. I think it would be running into probably Kate Manning in an elevator. Not because she's Shane on L Word, but because my spiritual side of me can read something really intense in her. I know that she's probably a little shy, and I'm a little shy. So I think that, like, the most intense experience would be, like, just us connecting.
Wow.
Maybe a kiss at the end of it, but, like, nothing intense, like ripping off our clothes or anything like that. I would love to connect with that person.
Really?
Because
wow.
I can feel this really strong, like, she's been asking for it spiritually.
Really? And what's her name again?
Kate Manning.
Okay, Kate. Well, we hope you you run into Tiger.
Again.
Yes, again, and we'll want to hear everything about it. Okay, so thanks, Tiger.
Yeah, thank you, Sam.
Okay, good
thanks,
luck.
Manu.
You're welcome.
Manu, any last words before we wrap up?
No, I'm hungry.
Are you hungry?
Yeah.
Okay, and I need a cigarette badly.
Get your nicotine fix. Nicotine.
Yep. So, anyway, we had a music oriented show today. We had
a
couple
of fabulous.
Great artists, I thought.
Yeah.
And great music. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow again and every day.
9 a.m.
Here at 9 a.m. on, what are we called? Oh, BBS Talk Radio.
The Sam and Manu Show,
the
California
Sam and Manu
Dreaming.
Show every day from 9 to 11.
Yeah.
We have coming up TJ at 12 with his show. And we have Johnny Dam coming up at 2. And then at 5, I believe we have... Robert Stanley with his Unica Sour.
Yeah,
that's. I'm pretty sure it's at 5. If not, then it's 4. But check the website for show times. We get new hosts. I've got a few lined up, some new ones, Manu. So
okay.
I'm excited. We're gonna have even more shows in the coming weeks.
And I'm always kept in the black box.
Yes,
when
exactly.
When it comes to guests,
you don't need to know anything.
Sam
you
always just, wants to keep me surprised.
Yeah, she just shows up and.
And tells him about my...
Tells us about the lesbians.
My adventures.
Okay. Irreverent.
See you tomorrow.
Cool. You're listening to the only radio that matters, BBS Talk Radio.